Well, hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Crystal, and I'm so glad that you are here. I have been on a journey of studying the book of Nehemiah for the last few weeks, and you would think after studying it for this many weeks, I've literally been reading and rereading the 13 chapters in Nehemiah over and over again, and you would think that I would stop finding amazing content in there, but I haven't. And I have the amazing opportunity of taking our church on a journey over 4 weeks to study the book of Nehemiah. And then on top of that, I'm taking my community group through the book of Nehemiah for 5 weeks. And I thought between all of those sessions, I probably would have enough time to get through everything that I want to say. But I find myself still finding more things in the book of Nehemiah. And so today, I'd love for you to join me in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. Nehemiah has made the journey to Jerusalem, and he's with God's people. And it says, "Then I told them the hand of my God, which was upon me for good, and also the words the king had spoken to me. And they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' So they strengthened their hands for the good work." And then in verse 20, it says, "Then I answered them, 'The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you will have no portion or right or memorial in Jerusalem.'" Yeah, I think this is so cool because we see Nehemiah coming, and first of all, he speaks on the behalf of God, but he's also speaking on behalf of the authority that sent him. And he's talking to them about what they're going to do, what they're going to be a part of. And it says that they said, "Let us rise up and build." And that what happens between verse 18 and verse 20 is verse 19. And Sanballat and Tobiah come in and they are trash talking the people. And you got to keep in mind that up until this point, Sanballat and Tobiah have oppressed the Israelite people. They've come in, they've plundered the city. Every time they've tried to rebuild, they've destroyed what they've built. But the people this time have just this God awakening, like this God inspiration. I think it's interesting that they say that they're going to arise and build. You know, the whole series that I'm doing, it's about arising. And I began our first part of the series with just a picture because I wanted them to see that before God builds us up, we must first come down. And so we must come down in the posture of prayer on our knees before anything can be built up. I first must go low. And I think it's so beautiful that they hear this and they respond of arise. We're going to arise and build. And I want to talk to you around three things. First thing is, I think it's time for us to arise to who we are. As Nehemiah comes, he reminds them of God's covenant. He reminds them of God's promises. He reminds them of their God identity that's outside of being exiles, outside of being a people that have been oppressed. For the first time in 70 years, they're being reminded of who they are in Christ. And I think for all of us, it's so easy to look more at what our circumstances are saying, the oppression of the enemy, the constant attack, the constant battle, that we need people in our lives that are modern day Nehemiahs that come along and speak to our God identity. And so I just want to encourage you as you're listening to this, that you're more than what you've been through, that you're more than your failures, that you're more than the attack that you're under, you're more than the diagnosis, you're more than your current employment status. Like there's more to where you are, and that's time for you to rise into who you are, to your God-given identity, to the things that God's promised you, that God's spoken over your life. And I think this is so beautiful because it's in this moment that their hearts are responding that it's time to get up. It's time to get up. And what's wild is they're responding to a promise that they feel in their hearts, but they can't see with their eyes. Everything in the natural looks the same. In fact, the enemy comes with the same taunts that he has used for 70 years. So you think these are the same taunts that would have frozen their grandfathers, their fathers, but yet now they've decided to awaken to their God-given identity. I found in my life, the one thing that I'm easy to surrender is my God-given identity, right? I so quickly like surrender the call, the purpose on my life. I allow what my circumstances are saying to drive what I feel inwardly. But in this moment, they choose to arise to who they are. The second thing is they choose to arise to what they have. there is something that happens when we look around in our life and we begin to realize I have everything I need right now, right here, to do what God's called me to do. I think it's beautiful in the book of Nehemiah. You'll notice that the only new material that's used is the timber, and the timber was used for the gates. But the walls were rebuilt off of what the enemy calls rubble. It's just remnants of what used to be this great, amazing wall. And God doesn't have them go to a quarry and find new rock, new stone. No, they just arise and use what they have. I found in our lives, we are more in love with what the future us might have, or we're more in love with what we used to have, and we neglect what we currently have. We squander away the time that we have. We squander away our current talents. We squander away the moments that we have right here today. And I think it's beautiful that God did something so amazing, but he didn't have to find something outside of where they currently were. And I want to encourage you that today, that the time you have is the time you need. That the talent you have is the talent you need. That God isn't going to use a future version of you, and he's not in love with the past version of you. That he wants you to awaken, to arise to what you currently have. And it's as they used what they currently had that they begin to rebuild the walls of the city. When I was in Israel recently, while I was there, I got to see a portion of the wall that's still standing. To this day, you think it's been 2,500 years and that wall is still standing. There has been many wars fought, many battles that have happened. That wall has stood literally through the test of time. And it was built off of the rubble, off of the remains, not off of new stone, not off of new content, not off of new pristine material. And I think a lot of times in our life, we look at what God's given us to build with. And we think, man, if I just had different material, if I had a different education, if I had different time, if I had different space, like I would be able to do so much. And God is wanting us to arise to what we already have. I want to encourage you, what do you have in your hand? Like literally like Moses, he's like, God, how am I going to go stand before Pharaoh? And the Lord tells him, what do you have in your hand? And he's like, this rod, this simple rod that I've used out in the wilderness. I've used to shepherd sheep. I've used out here to fend off attackers. And the Lord's like, yeah, I'm going to use that. And I think a lot of times, I think what keeps us from doing something great for God is we are waiting to get some new material to do this new thing. And God is wanting to use the material that we currently have to do what he's called us to do. And so I want you to arise to what you have. I want to encourage you, if you're a stay-at-home mom, God can use you right now as a stay-at-home mom. If you find yourself working in a position that seems like it's menial, it's mundane, that you're just doing ordinary tasks, I want to encourage you that it's in that space that God can use what you have. I read a book not too long back. It's called Practicing the Presence by Brother Lawrence. And what's beautiful is he's a man that works a job that's a custodial position. He mops floors, he washes dishes, but yet God uses him in such an amazing way. And he lives his life with a keen awareness that God is with me every day. And in that, he arises to who he is, and he arises to what he has, and he allows God to use him in that space, in that position, in a great and mighty way. In fact, it's said in the introduction of the book that he won Man of the Year. Like, I think that's so beautiful. And whenever he won it, he said, it's amazing to see that God can use somebody like me. And I want to encourage you that it's in that space that you're in. It's not by chance. It's not by accident that God wants to use what you have right now. The influence you have right now is the catalyst of a great move. The talents you have right now is everything you need to do what God's called you to do. Does that mean that you will never grow in talent? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But God's not waiting for you to get more talent to begin to step out and use what you already have. The third thing, I love this, is they begin to arise to why they had it. They begin to realize what I have in my life, there's a greater purpose, there's a greater destiny. And they begin to realize that they have been waiting for 70 years to rebuild this. And the reason why that opportunity is right there, right now, is because God wanted to do something. It's God's purpose through us. That's why. That's why we have the talent. That's why we have the influence. That's why we are where we are. I remember whenever I first moved to Roy City, and Brian and I moved here and we were believing God to start a church. And I was believing God for the right neighborhood, all the different things. And I had somebody tell me in that season, they were like, God knows who's supposed to be your neighbors. God knows who's supposed to be at your kid's school. God knows the very kids that are going to enroll into your kid's classroom because it's for His glory and for His good. And I watched through that time in that season as my kids began to win people to the Lord, as our neighbors that were around us, we got to show the love of Christ to. And I began to realize not just what I had, but why I had it was for God's glory. It was for His purpose. That even the address that I was in, the very placement of my house, was God-breathed, God-ordained for His purpose and for His glory. I want you today to ask the Lord, why do I have this? And how can I steward it for His purpose? It's not for my purpose, but it's for God's purpose, for His glory. And so beautiful that we see in the book of Nehemiah that as God's people did this, it didn't exempt them from attack. It didn't exempt them from adversity. Things still happened, right? But what began to change was they knew who they were. They knew what they had, and they knew why they had it. So I hope that inspires you today to begin to arise wherever you are, to your God-given identity, to what you have and why you have it. Thanks so much for hanging out here on my podcast. Do me a favor and hit the subscribe button if you haven't done so already so you never miss out on anything here on my podcast. Also, one of the best ways for us to begin to reach other people is by you sharing. So if you do me a favor and share this podcast with a friend, family member, or maybe on your social media, help us get the word out so we can help others.